You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Today, on the Word of Truth Revealed.
See, when you, one of the greatest things you can give a young man and a young woman as you raise them is preference. They'll make better choices. See, when you say everybody's the same and don't allow them to make decisions, I'm not talking about every decision. That, like, kids are not supposed to tell you what they're going to do. You give them two choices and you make, let them make a decision. You're teaching preference. You can, if you're a good parent, you will shape their decisions. Even if it's a wrong, we say, I don't know. Well, let's change that right here. It's the way you do it.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, The Chosen. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Psalm 24, verses 4 through 7.
And I really believe, since we are reflecting his light, it's implying the higher call of God. And there is a responsibility that we should carry as the chosen, a distinct identity. To live what? Righteously. To spread his message that you are his chosen generation. Some key aspects of the chosen. You were selected by the Lord as an aspect of the chosen, favored. When he says you're chosen, it means you're chosen elect. Each one of these words, when I ran a reference on it, it means you're the chosen elect. It means you're making a difference, or he's making a deliberate choice, an ongoing decision to commit to your life, to prioritize you. God chose you, selected you. Like I was selected from my complex at Riverview Elementary School to represent my school at Kennedy Space Center as a young kid. As one of the chosen to watch a rocket blast off. It was one of the highlights of my youth to be one of the chosen. Everybody didn't ride on that bus. Only the ones selected. And you, if you're chosen, you got to learn how to get on the bus and look at others standing there and wave at them and stop feeling sad and bad about how they feel and start focusing on where you're going. There's some people emotionally hanging out the window of the bus when God is trying to tell you, I'm taking you to something you've never seen before, and you still trying to identify with your hood. Or like Michael Vick, who is one of the best quarterbacks ever in Atlanta, but he had a hard time separating from his hood that liked to fight dogs. So he would leave the stadium and go around the corner somewhere and fight dogs, pit bulls. And no one told him, Mike, you gotta let him go. Cause he's loyal to the hood and didn't see he was chosen and selected for something different. And that one mistake cost him so much in the stadium in which he's blowing the minds of people, because he couldn't let it go. like many of us, are called to do something great, but we are hanging out with the wrong people, wrong tendency, wrong mindset, and you think you're right, but you can't ride to that place while you're hanging out with this place. You got to make the difference. Get up on the bus, square up, sit, get in your seat, put on your seat belt, and focus on where you're going. Because you are the chosen. Say, I am the chosen.
I am chosen.
That means you got to be okay with the ones who weren't selected. You don't have to look down on them, but you got to learn how to say, I am the chosen. I have a special job to do. I've now been selected to go to a college. I can't be hanging out in the hood if I got to be in my classroom. I was chosen for this school. And if God chose you to be a part of Truth Revealed, you shouldn't be hanging out in the streets. You shouldn't be backed up somewhere, compromising yourself. You got to learn how to get with the chosen and flow with the chosen. You can't smoke what they smoke. You can't dance with the way they dance. You can't have the same partners. You can't watch the same movies. You got to learn to dial in to where God has put you and learn how to flow here. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You can't be a part of this team and you got one foot out there in the world and another foot here. You can't be playing gigs and playing on the platform. Man, I'm preaching now. You can't sing on the praise team and you dropping it like it's hot. Or you're part of four praise teams in the community. You can't say you're with me and you got your own Bible class that you don't talk to me about, or it hadn't been endorsed by the leadership here. How in the world are you raising up people when you haven't been raised up yourself? I would know if you ready to raise up people, wouldn't I? The mere fact that you're clandestine tells me you know you're wrong, because you never exposed it. Let me tell you something about wolves. They always operate in the veneer of darkness. They wait until the sun go down. Then they start moving. And when you wait until nobody knows, and then you start functioning and flowing. Oh, you shining the light, but nobody knows. I'm telling you, it's an indicator that something ain't right. Houdini said, the freaks come out at night. The freaks come out at night. And that's exactly what happens in the church. Anytime the sun go down, here come people start, oh, I got the spirit. But the same God can work in the night as well as in the day. Let me tell you something about God. He's always transparent. Always transparent. Ain't nothing clandestine about God. All things are naked unto him. When you got to hide stuff, it means something ain't right. Let me go to the word, because you don't believe it. For the word is quick and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating even to the division of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All things are naked unto him. That's what the scripture says. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. There's nothing hidden in his sight. And if we get with God, we start revealing things.
Yes.
Listen, oh my God. Everybody quiet, okay. I didn't know that. That's right. That's why our church is transparent. Amen. I tell you what I'm going to do. And you should be able to tell me what you're doing. You got a secret ministry? Secret? Okay. God ain't secret. God is open. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's get back to the word. So key aspects of the chosen. You're selected. Selected. Preferred. Committed to. That means God has prioritized you. He values you. This is going to hurt, but he values you above others. I know everybody say everybody's equal, but when God selects you, he selected a generation, he pulled you out, he valued you above others. You're chosen by God. You're chosen by God to obtain salvation in Christ Jesus and to abstain from acts of the world, a worldly mentality. Chosen by God to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. You were chosen for salvation in Christ, not in Buddha, not in Christo. You were chosen by God to receive salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. You're also chosen as prime. One of my favorite restaurants that I'm starting to really love is Urban Prime up in Vieira. And they have what they call, and this is many restaurants have it. I like Chart House as well, and I like the Red Yellow Dog, yeah. And I like Longhorns and Texas Roadhouse, but I like what they call prime rib, prime what? Prime steak, something like that. Prime rib, right? It's a selection. It's a portion of meat that is not common. It's a specific cut. And see, one of the things that I love about the way I'm moving and would like to see this developed in you, it wasn't developed in me as a young boy. I was came up in a household that my mom said, whatever I put before you, you eat it with Thanksgiving. But I didn't like rice and tomatoes mixed. I like rice and gravy. But she may fix one day tomatoes and rice, and I didn't like it. But and see, my mom had a look, like one eye this way, the other one. Even in church, honestly, I could tell when she was looking. I look over there and she's like, I'm eyeing you. But she made us eat rice and tomatoes, but I didn't like it. And I personally believe it dulled my preference. See, when you, one of the greatest things you can give a young man and a young woman is you raise them is preference. They'll make better choices. See, when you say everybody's the same and don't allow them to make decisions, I'm not talking about every decision. That, like, kids are not supposed to tell you what they're going to do. You give them two choices and you make let them make a decision. You're teaching preference. You can, if you're a good parent, you will shape their decisions. Even if it's a wrong, we say, I don't know. Well, let's change that right here. It's the way you do it. Come on, Miss Barbette. Okay, I need you to back me. You're supposed to be saying that right. Tell them, Bishop. Miss Barbette is good at that. She's really good at it. I watch her. And if I came up to her teaching, I think I would be a different person. I'm a late bloomer because I like preference. I didn't understand it until I became a man. Some things bother me. Like hearing a fork go over a pie cake, a pie crust, a pie pan, right? Because when I was coming up, my mom used to bake pies, right? But sometimes she fed us in the pie instead of having tin pan, right? Instead of having a plate, it was she like, yeah, I'm not washing y'all handle this. So the thing is that when my fork is hitting it, I don't like the sound. Now you would say, well, you know, you this is the church people. Now that's pride. No, what is preference? So when I met Pastor Sabrina and her mother had her youngest son, he didn't like certain things. She would cook him something different. I never saw that before. I said, whoa. I don't like beans, mama. I said, what do you want, son? He said, I want pinto. Okay, sit down. I don't want to go to that college. I like to go to this one. Okay, let's look at it. In my household, that's like you proud. You do what I tell you. That's the mentality that was there. See, and I got all this stuff archived in my mind. That's why I can speak to it. I believe my mom meant well, but I'm saying you submitting to a system here that don't want people to have preference. So when I started pastoring, and I want to assure Mike, well, why are you getting an expensive one? That's pride. No, it's preference. I don't like synthetic leather. I like the real thing. Don't give me an off-brand Coke. Bring me Coca-Cola. Y'all understand? And when a man has that, when he grows with it, he'll make better choices for you. The first coat I bought cost $650. The first leather coat for her. I didn't look at the price. I said, yeah, this one right here. They said, that's $650. I didn't care. I was young, man, in my 20s. I said, go ahead and get that one. Because I'm a man of preference. What are you talking about? I don't get the cheapest. That's how I am, and I carry that into my ministry. I'm not looking for no slipshod. Don't get up here talking about we're going to take your mistakes for love. I want your best. And that's how I move, because I'm giving you mine every week. And I promise you I'm going to give you my best all year. At least that's my intention. Can you say the same thing? You know why I say it? Because I'm chosen. And I bring all of it to the table. My preference as well. And God is okay with it. David said, I don't want just some city called Bethlehem that I came out of. I want Jerusalem. Oh, my God. Ooh, Jesus. Well, it's high, David. It's too high. And the Jebusites are there. I don't care who's there. I want Jerusalem. I am Jerusalem. And he got it. And he kicked the Jebusites out and called it the city of David. It don't even say God's wanted Jerusalem. David wanted it. And if you start putting a marker on stuff that you want, God will align your path. He'll start putting people in place. Hallelujah, to make it happen. I'm preaching better than you saying amen. And I want Palm Bay, the city. I want the entire state for God, and I'm going for it. And no devil can tell me that my preference is of the devil. My preference, he gave it to me. There's some things that I can't rest until I get it. Glory to God, hallelujah. And that's how he wants you to go after him. Touch your name and say, let's run after Jesus. Yeah, run after. Stop walking and crawling after. Run after it. Thank you, Jesus. Think about Jesus is on the bus and you got to get on it and it's already pulling off. You don't got time to be playing around. You got to run and jump on that bus so you can go. We're already behind time. Oh, my God. Chosen generation. Chosen by God. Chosen generation. Glory to God. Listen to me. I've been doing some researches on all of the generations. All of the generations. And we got some problems here. experts have labeled the generations. They predicted, in other words, for predicted is prophesying. They've prophesied. They another word is prognosticated. They prognosticate or fortune tell or foretell what the generations will do based on present behavior. They've already predicted your future. They've already predicted your arrangements. Another word for arrangements are plans. They've already predicted your plans, how you behave, your buying regimens, how you will spend your money, and what you will spend it on. Your culture and the robbing of other cultures and the blending of culture. They've already predicted your lifestyle and who you will love. Same sex as well as heterosexual. They predicted based on how you're raised. They projected your healthy projections, like who's going to be healthy based on what you eat and where you live and how much money you make. They can determine how healthy you may be based on how much money you make. They've also projected the people groups that you will associate with, how much hair you will need so you can look like them. Y'all still with me? Yes, truth revealed, are you with me? Say, oh yeah. Yeah. We have in church and he's preaching. Say, we have in church and he's preaching. Yeah. And we ain't going no well. They're already harvesting from Africa weave because they believe they know what you're going to do with it and what groups you want to look like because you're not satisfied with you. So I went back in time. There's a generation called the GI generation. It was called the greatest generation. Write it down, 1900. And 1 to 1927. This generation suffered through the Great Depression, World War II. It had a big spike in jazz music. It prevailed through the Great Depression and through World War II. It prevailed. Standing in bread lines through the Great Depression. Lack of resources, lack of food, cold, no heat, and it prevailed. It's called the greatest generation or the GI generation. The second one is called the silent generation. 1928 to 1946. They were known as the silent generation because they kept quiet as communism, which was a different type of government ideal, invaded America. They didn't say nothing about it when they saw it coming through the borders. They saw a different ideal coming, but they were quiet. No one had a talk show. No one said, we need to watch this. Even now, New York has just elected its first mayor that calls himself a democratic socialist. Well, the communism, which is the next level above socialism, was actually introduced in America in this generation, and they got quiet and didn't say anything about it, and it came in as an ideal, and then it took root in a government that's about democracy. The next generation is called the baby boomer generation, 1946 to 1964. They're called the boomers. This is the greatest spike of babies being born after World War II. A whole lot of love took place. A whole lot of love. We have never seen in America the kind of birth rate that we've ever seen, that we've seen. There was never a time like that during this time. It's called a boomer. And many of us that are over 60 were born, our parents were born, you were born during this season. From 1946 to 1964. A whole lot of love. They didn't have a lot of TV, but they had a whole lot of love. Say boomers. This occurred after World War II or after a great conflict. I want you to hear what I'm saying because I'm showing you something. After you go through a war, you got to be careful about what you do with boom. It is not the poverty that kills us. It is when you come out of a conflict. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Oh, my God. One of the reasons why I'm going to show you that you need to be the generation that he chose, because there's a cycle here. And I believe God wants us to manifest so we can break the cycle.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For a replay of today's message, The Chosen, visit the media section on the Truth Revealed app or our website at www.truthrevealed.org.
The more time you invest in a marriage, the more valuable it becomes. Join the next Marriage Enrichment Hearts Intertwined Sessions on Saturday, January 17th at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary to discover ways to invest in your relationship and become more connected. Come early for refreshments and fellowship. Childcare is provided. Registration is open for the Believers Enrichment Spiritual Training Best Class. Sign up today using the TR app, website, or by scanning the QR code in the foyer. Classes will begin soon, so reserve your spot now. Discover God's purpose for you. Join the Driven Life course starting February 9th. Sign up via the TR app, website, or QR code in the foyer.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day. Thank you.